Welcome to Horseplay. This is Dr. Rebel giving you a small piece of context about the show. Well, two pieces of context, actually. One horse fact and one horse fiction. The horse fact is that Incitatus, nobody knows how it's pronounced because it's Latin, was a real horse in Roman times. The Emperor Caligula often joked about making his favorite horse, Incitatus, a senator. And he reportedly fed Incitatus gold flakes as well. So it's just the most pampered horse you've ever seen in your life. In this show, Incitatus starts as a senator and will watch their ascent. The piece of horse fiction is about Mary Lewd or Mary Lloyd or Mary Lewid or Mary Loud, or I don't know how to pronounce that personally because it's Welsh and I've never studied Welsh. Anyway, Mary Lloyd is a tradition in Wales where you hide under this horse head on a stick and you go to somebody's house and you carol. It's a Christmas carol tradition. So you show up and you carol and you ask the person for food and beer. Yeah, please let me inside so I can drink all your food. Please let me inside so that I can eat all your food and drink all your beer. That's what Mary Lloyd says. And then in response, you are expected to carol with excuses about why they can't come inside. Like, oh, it's so messy in here. Oh, I don't have anything to feed you. Oh, whatever, whatever. So in my understanding of this, this is a Christmas carol rap battle that you are invited to participate in Wales. So with those two characters understood, you can now enjoy Horseplay. And let me hand it over to my friend and colleague, William Wimberly Wallington Wallace. Enjoy the show.
Esteemed colleagues, I am William Wimberly Wallington Wallace, and today it is my extreme pleasure to introduce one of the most distinguished theatrical works of the modern era, Horseplay. For now, we restrict ourselves to a theatrical production, although we are garnering funds to produce an original video mimeographed adaptation. That's a hint directed mostly at you, Mr. Bezos. I don't mean to give you a hard time, sir. It is an absolute pleasure to have you in the audience. Irregardless, for those of you lucky enough to be enjoying this acclaimed masterwork for the first time, Horseplay addresses a most intriguing topic, namely the fall of the Roman Empire, a most edifying subject of intellectualism. How did the earliest and greatest empire of Europe come to ruin? As we all know, it was because of horses. Sentient horses that despised the colonialism inherent in imperial conquest. If it were not for the efforts of a few diverse individuals of the equine persuasion, why, we would all be speaking Latin today. Pardon me, my fellow humans, and horses as well. This is of particular interest to the latter category. For what greater contribution to our great history could there be? Humans and horses. It is not only my pleasure to introduce the play. I also have the honor of participating as a thespian. I shall be narrating the action. The Greek tradition of the chorus serves us well, and without further ado or explication, let us begin our rendition of Horse Play. We see Archduke Alfred the Torsant with his magnificent horse upper half and human bottom half. He is sharing an ale with Minestrone the Unicorn, who, as we all know, is unique among unicorns for her corn cob horn. The bar chatters in the background.
Listen, Alfred. No matter what you tell me, it's not possible for centaurs to spoon.
As a reverse centaur, it's easy. I just have my long body, and I lay next to somebody.
Right, but you're not a centaur.
I bet they can do it. Spoon with their human torso, and their horse body hangs off the bed.
They might spoon with their horse half, though. Horse halves touching. Human bodies off the bed. We have got to get to the bottom of this.
Let's just ask a centaur.
You'd be comfortable? The question feels somehow racist to me.
Yeah, it's kind of sensitive, but I'm at least centaur adjacent.
Centaurs have really bad tempers. It's so brave of you to ask.
That's racist.
Sorry, Alfra. Well, go ahead and ask somebody.
I will. But come with me, in case things do get violent.
See? You're worried about it, too.
We see Alfred and Minestrone navigating a crowded bar to a pair of centaurs.
Can you help us settle a debate?
Oh, sure. We see you two here all the time. I'm Vernon.
And I'm Jim.
Nice to meet you both. I'm Alfred, and this is Minestrone. So, hey, when you're getting intimate with somebody, how do you spoon them?
Oh, well, I'm the little spoon.
I'm the little spoon, too.
But wait, aren't you two like an item?
Yeah. We're both little spoons.
This is raising more questions than it answers. So you trade off.
No, we little spoon at the same time. I put my horse half facing away from his human half.
My human half is also facing away from his horse half.
Ugh, but that's not spooning. That's more like chopsticking. If you're both facing away from each other and just touching...
What parts are hanging off the bed?
We can spoon however the horse we want.
Oh, honey, they're just curious.
I'm just starting to get angry.
Oh, honey, no, no. We don't want you to get like this in our favorite bar.
Oh, these angry centaurs, just like I told you, Alfred.
Didn't I tell you not to stereotype?
But it's applicable.
Get back, Minestrone!
I can fight a weak centaur. We all know they're all whinny and no bite.
God damn it, Minestrone!
And Jim's mighty kick landed not on Minestrone the Unicorn, but instead on Archduke Alfred's poor head. The kick that shook the Empire to its knees. The death of the high-rank Archduke inflamed tensions around the Empire, and thus was the flame of revolution ignited by a barroom brawl over a strange debate. We shall revisit Jim and Vernon's unusual relationship in due time. Any discussion of sentient horses overthrowing the Roman Empire would be incomplete without discussion of the great Incitatus, the horse senator under Caligula. We see Incitatus presenting a new law to the Roman Empire. Incitatus's chief political enemy, Julius Mulius, interrupted as he was wont to do.
Impossible. The Empire cannot put gold flakes in horse oats. The taxes you propose are insane. We just can't tax the Welsh to that extent. They would rebel instantly. Look, I appreciate that horses are an important part of the Roman Empire. I'm even willing to recognize you, a horse, as a fellow senator. But we cannot bankrupt the Empire just to make horses marginally more comfortable. Hey, some of my best friends are horses. My wife is a horse. What do you have to say to that, huh? All these personal attacks are distracting the Senate from what's your main argument, which is what you wanted in the first place. I don't care how racist you think I am. Don't I have a point? Gold flakes and horse oats would be incredibly expensive. Fine, I'll let you finish your proposal. You want to abolish spurs? And you want mandated brushing sessions for every horse daily? Your special interests are getting the better of you. The Empire's more than just horses. Why, with all these laws and restrictions, the Welsh would rebel in an instant. This is what comes of a horse senator, my colleagues. Pure nonsense. As someone has to say it, horses are just stupider than humans. It's sad, but true. You call me out? You wish to duel? Senators cannot duel each other for political purposes. What you suggest is treason. Treason! Senators, I propose that Incitatus be put to death. Immediately. All in favor? Aye. All against?
It was just then that Julius, absorbed in his debate, looked around and noticed something unusual.
What is this witchcraft? Have all the remaining senators been replaced with horses? I'm the only human left, but that means for your coup to be complete, you'll never take me alive.
And the horse senate summarily disemboweled the last remaining human senator, Julius Mulius. It was difficult to do, using only their hooves. However, the horse senate was nothing if not persistent. The horse hall coup, as it's been dubbed, laid the groundwork for horses to legally control the Roman Empire. Incitatus's reign and subsequent fall shall be documented later in horseplay. Whilst the Roman horses were working diligently within the heart of the Empire to improve their lot, there was also action in the borders and peripheries of the Empire. Consider, for instance, the infamous Mary Lude, an animated horse head on a stick. We see Mary addressing a crowd of Welsh horses.
Nay, a Mary Lewitt, and I'm here to to say. The Romans suck dick in an uncool way. They give us Welsh the worst horse feed. They eat gold flakes and I hate their greed. Come Welsh horsemen and follow me. We won't rest till our land is free. We'll take down the law and the rule of Rome and free our Wales, our land, our home.
Pegulus, the peg leg Pegasus, enters the scene.
The Romans kick ass, and that's a fact. They bring steady food to our huge horse pack. The feed may be bad, better than starving. Your lack of a plan? Very alarming. Brothers and sisters dead in the ground. But I'm alive. I shouldn't mess around with a good thing. Don't argue this, or so help me. You'll take my horse fist.
Your rhymes are so pedestrian. I'm the number one equestrian. Don't try and battle me. I think you're hard, but you're cattle, G. The Romans put us in tiny horse stalls. If you think that's fine, you can suck on my giant horse balls. They're just a bunch of fiends. I'm gonna bring out some heavy guillotines. We'll chop them up into bits. I'm Mary Lou Witt, and my flow is the shit.
I'll admit that you have a large heart, but I'm here to say your plan ain't smart. Fight an army? Twice the size of us? Guillotines? That shit's ridiculous. I know you want the best for our little Welsh herd, but it's sounding like you haven't heard the word. We're outnumbered. Revolution would be a terrible blunder.
So you admit they rule by force? How can you be a self-respecting horse when they've collared you? You make me wanna spew. Keep this up and you'll turn into glue. My dude, come along with me. Let's build a human effigy. We'll trick the Romans while we're hiding inside. They'll take it and bring inside our sneaky ride. Then we creep in. Agree, these rhymes have reason.
Feels like there's wisdom in your master plan. Let's slit the silly Romans in their pointy ear to ear. With Mary Wid, I've got no fears.
Ay, nay, ay, nay.
Nay.
Fuck the Romans.
FTP.
Thus ended the debate between Mary Lud and Pegulus. Those two great leaders resolved to build a hollow human statue to trick the Roman army. And, by some strange twist of history, Trojans got all the credit for this idea. Hopefully this rendition clarifies it is a Welsh human, not a Trojan horse. While the past is a much-loved topic of myself and other members of the intelligentsia, we may also look to the future. The Council of Equine Time Travel has been beneficent enough to give us complete knowledge of a most influential meeting that is to occur 170 years from today. The brilliance of horseplay is to marry the past with our glorious future. We see the brilliant time travel lawyer, Theremin the Thoroman, with their impeccably formed human head and bull body. Addressing the Council of Equine Time Travel, the council members, of course, are wearing their customary hooded robes.
Council members, it is through your horsemanitarianism that I am here today with a proposal, as been foretold in the masterpiece, Horseplay. While this council has righted many wrongs throughout the time streams, so many injustices remain for us to address. I am here to propose Equine Town Council Mission Number 46. We must bring about the downfall of the Roman Empire.
At this point, a magnificent Clydesdale named Polymia removed her hooded robe.
I am interjecting, as has been foretold in horseplay.
And the token human in the Equine Council, Unicornt, also responded.
What is the meaning of this interruption, I ask, as I knew I would have to from horseplay?
You know well the meaning, my two-footed friend. The downfall of the Roman Empire leads to the collapse of the European economy, which in turn results in the extinction of centaurs. We cannot allow this time stream to have been.
But as we all know, without the empire collapsing, its colonialism would have expanded across the globe, destroying cultures. The fact that we are speaking English instead of Latin means that the fall of Rome will have come to pass, certainly.
You are quoting from horseplay, as am I. We both know the protocols, having listened to it since we were children. But I can show you, I can prove to you, that we can escape the deterministic flow of time.
Yes, yes. We all know what you're about to do.
I will say something that deviates from the script of horseplay to prove that the time stream is not fixed.
Proceed, Polymia, with the nonsense words you say to try to break the determinism of the time stream.
Oh, I shall. Hot shudders bring the tomato soup to its knees. First they came for us centaurs, then the minotaurs, then the Clydesdales, and then, when they came for Weird Al Yankovic, my face opened to reveal songbirds!
We knew you would say those things. They are in the script of horseplay.
No, I can do it! I can break the fixed time flow and say something truly unexpected.
All together, shall we?
The passage of eyeball worms shatters the pieces of eternity. Arf! Under no circumstances should towels incubate.
We knew you would say that, as you can see.
I knew I would say that too. But I can feel it coming. The archetypal histoludo narrative shall collapse. Free will shall triumph. What you don't know about potatoes is that squirrels are running rampant through the fields of Ukraine.
She's done it.
She said something unexpected. Not written in the script. The timeline opens.
Brothers and sisters of the Equine Time Travel Council, if I can break fate even once, it can happen again.
All these years, I never believed it would truly come to pass.
Yes, even though in the script of horseplay it said to say something unexpected, what Polymia just said was so truly unexpected that my worldview has opened.
We can save the centaurs.
But we must still bring about the fall of the Roman Empire. Otherwise, paradox would strike.
Let's take the middle path. Bring about the fall of the Roman Empire, but save the centaurs.
We can put our finest minds on the project.
They were too proud of people to lose.
And thus, the Centaur Re-establishment and Roman Empire Collapse Project began. Under the great auspices of the Council of Equine Time Travel. Of course, we all know how it will have ended. We previously witnessed the kick that shook the Roman Empire. As you recall, Archduke Alfred's death spurred on the revolution. Let us learn more about the centaurs that committed the deed. Before that mighty kick, Jim and Vernon were on their third date together. We see a candlelit dinner with Roman pasta and primavera. The centaurs are holding hands.
I'm really enjoying spending time with you, Jim.
Me too.
But it's our third date, and you know what that means.
We finally get to have sex?
Well, maybe. It depends on how you react to me. I was going to say, it's our third date, so it's time to share something vulnerable that we've been holding back.
Oh, well, that's easy. I have anger issues.
I want to unpack that. But first, let me say what I've got to say.
My anger issues make me kill people accidentally sometimes.
Okay, that's pretty intense.
Yeah, it's never happened to a romantic partner, but it happens when people are being racist towards centaurs. I kill prejudiced people.
Again, I really want to unpack that. Really important. But now I've got to get the nerve and the guts to tell you.
Guts, yeah. The guts of my victim spray all over the floor.
That's horrifying.
It haunts my dreams.
Listen to me, Jim. I've got to get this out.
Sorry, I'm making this all about me.
You kind of are.
That's what all my past partners say. Jim, you're making it all about you again. Jim, you're not listening. Jim, stop strangling that man. That was just a microaggression.
I'm a vampire.
What?
You may have noticed I'm not eating any of the pasta. That's because I'm a vampire.
Wow, that's heavy.
I just thought you should know, so if we kiss, I might accidentally bite you, and you might become a vampire too.
Did this happen to you accidentally, or did you, like, purposefully become a vampire?
I purposefully became a vampire. I wanted to be an independent centaur. Other centaurs rely so much on the 2 feet. They do all the farming and all the butchering. We centaurs are capable of farming or butchery. And since we face so much discrimination, I decided I needed to learn to eat on my own. And the only way a centaur can is by drinking blood.
Wait. What do you think centaurs can't farm?
Oh, I'm surprised you don't know this. We can't reach the ground. Our arms don't go that far, and so we can't plant anything. As for butchery, well, I'm half horse, and I don't feel right eating meat.
2 things. 1, drinking blood is pretty similar to eating meat. 2, my parents are farmers.
What?
Yeah. I'm not sure why you think we can't touch the ground. We just bend our forward horse knees and reach down. Plus, they use hoes to plant the seeds.
I never thought I'd ever be able to reach the ground. My mom taught me that if I ever tried, my horse knees, they would just break from the strain.
Well, why don't you try it with me?
I can't. It's too dangerous.
Look, I'll show you.
You don't have to impress me with crazy stunts. I already like you.
Just look.
And Jim the centaur showed Vernon that it was perfectly possible to bend the forward knees and touch the ground with the hands as a centaur.
Wow! You're opening my whole world.
Now you try.
I'm scared.
If you try, I'll kiss you.
Oh, That's a great incentive, but the bigger reason is to crash through barriers I thought were impossible.
Then Vernon the centaur bent his forward knees and touched the ground, and Jim and Vernon kissed, with both sets of horse knees touching the ground.
Well, that was wonderful.
Oh, yes.
What are you going to do now? You're a vampire, and it turns out you didn't need to be one.
I don't know. There is no cure for vampirism.
You nibbled on my bottom lip. A little bit. Do you think you got me?
Oh, gosh. I completely forgot about that. You might be infected now.
Ooh, am I gonna get killer abs? All vampires have killer abs, right? I've read Twilight.
You know, that's a harmful stereotype.
Oh.
But as centaurs, we often have to tilt our torsos down to be able to reach people's necks, so we do get a lot of chances to work out our abs.
So it's a stereotype based on fat.
My least favorite kind. Jim, on the off chance that I bit you, we need to go back to my lair and perform the unholy vampire rituals.
Ooh, that's what the kids are calling it these days.
What?
It's our third date. Unholy rituals? Like fornicating.
I don't think you appreciate the gravity of the situation. You might become a vampire. It'll change your life forever.
As long as we can fornicate, I'm down.
Oh, fornicating is involved in the ritual, yes.
And Jim and Vernon went off to Vernon's secret lair and performed many unholy rituals, which included black candles, incense, pentagrams drawn in chalk, and quite a bit of butt stuff. When we last saw the imperious Incitatus, they were a Roman senator. In a short time, they became God Emperor of Rome. We see Incitatus sitting on a magnificent chalk throne, engraved with images of horses on chariots pulled by humans. They are attended by Minestrone the Unicorn and Unicont, the human time traveler. Following time law, Incitatus and Minestrone do not know that Unicont is from the future.
Your Majesty, Incitatus, I urge you to reconsider. Shoring up the food stores of the Empire would be valuable in the event of catastrophe.
Your Godliness! Are you going to sit here and be lectured by a filthy human? Stand down, Unicorn!
Minestrone, I may be human, but I am not filthy.
Unless you have licked yourself clean lately, I don't want to hear it.
Hang on. Is it even possible for you to lick yourself clean with your horn?
Thank you, God Emperor. What an invasive question.
My apologies, God Emperor. And Minestrone, but even if you didn't have it, would your horse head be able to reach your hindquarters?
It's a group activity, obviously.
I don't mean to tell you horses how to do your business, but personally, I take a dip in a pond to clean myself. I thought that's how horses clean themselves too.
Let's get back to the matter at hand, food stores. Unnecessary. Next problem.
God Emperor, I beseech you. Zeus forbid, but what would happen if the Empire were to fall? The people would starve, particularly the centaurs in Wales.
Unicorn, to suggest that the Empire could fall.
Blasphemy, I know, But a god emperor such as yourself has a tremendous responsibility to their people. And to their horses. You have a legacy to protect.
Ridiculous! What legacy would even remain should the empire fall?
The fantastic roads and aquifers you commissioned shall last. The theology and politics of Rome shall continue. You can create a legacy that lasts, yea, unto the apocalypse!
Incitatus, this is a pure vanity project that has no basis in reality. Expel this stupid human from the premises.
No, Your Excellency. Your horseliness.
It was at this point that Unicont realized that he had to say something unexpected to break the flow of time.
Foot sauce! LinkedIn assassinating JFK! Bear powder!
What are these words? Are you swearing at us in your vile human tongue?
Anyway, here's Wonderwall.
Enough!
Fish dreams. In space. Covered in rings.
And with that incredible act, the time stream was broken.
My goodness! What compelling nonsense!
You see my point then, God Emperor?
When he puts it that way, I agree. It's something to consider. Perhaps food stores would not damage our economy so badly.
God Emperor, my humblest thanks.
For a stupid human, you have some good suggestions.
And for a racist unicorn, you can sometimes have an open mind.
And thus it was. The groundwork was laid for the great Roman food stores, which the centaurs relied heavily upon in the centuries ahead. Of course, the Council of Equine Time Travel still had to ensure that the Roman Empire would fall. Let us return our fine attentions to the struggle in Wales. Recall that Mary Lood suggested an ingenious plan, a hollow statue of a human in which militant horses may hide. Again, we wish to reiterate the relative majesty of the Welsh human compared to the Trojan horse. The statue is on the way to the center of the Roman encampment in Wales.
Ay. Nay. Ay. Nay. Yo, it's Luwita again. I'm back in the saddle, headed off to rout the Roman rebel. With my genius plan, there'll be no mistakes, soon they'll be calling me Luwita the Great.
The magnificent time-traveling Clydesdale, Polemia, interjected.
Yo. Yo. Hey. Hey. Hey, yo! There once was a horse from Nantucket who traveled through time and said, fuck it. Past horses can know about crazy time flow and the council can go to hell in buckets.
Who's this rapper talking about time? She's got herself a weird way to rhyme. It's a slick, modern, poetic form that's well outside the obvious norm. To me, it's rich like sweet, sweet wine. But wait, what's Nantucket?
Yo, don't freak out. I'm from the future. My name's Polemia. Ain't no mucho. Best beware about time travel raps as you bring around the Roman collapse.
What? You're a horse from the future? Cool story, fool. Don't pull one on me. I ain't no fool. You're a good-looking mirror, and I'll hear your advice. I'll think about it, but I won't think twice.
We rode the Welshman into camp. I could kiss you for that, lady and tramp. Let's smite these Roman with three plagues. We'll cut them down and break their legs. Let's unleash illness and watch glee as Romans die in agony. You'll rule your home and Wales will rise. Let's kill the Romans. Crush them like flies. Yeah, we'll crush them like flies.
Hey, let's combine our plans and they'll all see. They shouldn't mess with you and they shouldn't mess with me. Just one question and I gotta ask, what'll happen when you drop those flasks? Will Welsh horses get sick too? That'd be an awful thing, boo.
No matter what, there's always a cost. Some horses' lives, they may be lost. Thought you were a horse, not a chicken. Without me, you got no pot to piss in. You want a bloody revolution? Then we gotta do what we gotta do, son. Hey!
I'll pray for the sick, the old, the infirm. Some hearses of ours will feed the worm. It's a devil's bargain that I am making, but the fall of Rome is worth the undertaking. Hey, let's do it. Let's fuck the Romans up.
Kirkland signature dog. Keeping us not thirsty, baby. Hey.
But wait, what's Kirkland?
And with that, Mary Lude and Polemia opened the trap door in the Welsh human statue, threw the noxious vials into the Roman encampment, and fought their way out. They left behind illnesses that would ravage the Roman Empire. Polemia revealed the secret of time travel to Mary Lude. For this offense, the Council of Equine Time Travel sent her to time jail. She is on one side of double paned glass, speaking to her time lawyer, Theremin, through a telephone.
God damn it, Polemia. You're a loose cannon, ignoring all the rules of time travel.
Yo, goddamn. God damn it, Theremin. I get results. Why couldn't they just send me to the time rehab instead?
God damn it, that's a good idea. I can petition the time court to send you to time rehab.
The petition was successful. Weeks later, Polemia and her time lawyer Theremin would meet in time rehab.
God damn it! I'm in time rehab and it's just as bad as time jail. I have group therapy every day. All the therapists are trying to convince me that I have too big of an ego and that I don't know what's right for the timeline.
Don't you think they might have a point? Damn.
Oh, God damn it, I get results.
Time rehab is the best we can expect based on your behavior.
God damn it. I hate it here.
I hate being your time lawyer.
I'm sorry.
I need you to show me you're sorry, not just say it. Get through your time probation. Go to group. Quit mucking up the timeline.
God damn it, I'll try.
Thus, Polemia admitted she was addicted to altering the timeline. She started to take her recovery seriously. However, she would continue to disrupt the timeline again and again, as we shall see. The internal politics of Rome, as it began to decline, are of particularly edifying interest. The senator Julius Mulius addresses Minestrone, the chancellor and advisor to Incitatus. Recall Minestrone's corn cob horn and imagine Mr. Mulius's humanliness. They are in Minestrone's office.
So you aren't even going to consider my proposal?
You filthy two legs, how did you get in here?
I am the lead senator. You are the god emperor's advisor. We have to work together to prevent the fall of Rome.
Weren't you disemboweled a long time ago?
Yes. Somebody turned me into a vampire after I died. But that's not important right now.
Well, you're lucky I don't disembowel you again.
Please. We must advise the Emperor to do something about the situation in Wales. Our soldiers are dropping like flies.
What would you know about flies? I had many of them in my horse stall, stinking human.
No matter what I say, you're gonna have a problem with it.
That's right, so get out of my office.
You're always talking to me about my two legs. It's really surprising to me that you think having four legs is better.
Oh, really? What is your idiotic human perspective on the matter?
If a single leg goes out, your life is doomed. But I could use a crutch or cane. So you see, it's really the horses that are dumb and awful.
Now it comes out! Finally! Let's listen to the racist!
You're the one to talk, stupid, stinking human, you say. Horses smell much worse, especially when they don't know how to bathe, like you, you filthy animal.
It isn't racist if it's true. Humans are genetically inferior to horses, unicorns, pegasi, centaurs, and anything else that walks on 4 feet. This is a fact.
Madam, I have had enough. I demand satisfaction.
And Julius Mulius took off his glove and used it to slap Minestrone in the face.
A duel, eh? You want to be disemboweled again? It will be my pleasure.
With a flourish, Julius Mulius unsheathed his rapier.
Have it your way.
And Minestrone unsheathed her broadsword. It was, indeed, a battle for the ages. The agile rapier against the raw power of the broadsword. Naturally, the broadsword was, of necessity, balanced on the tip of Minestrone's corncob horn. And the greatest duel of the Roman era commenced.
Ah, the nut-cracking aerofold technique. You think you can get me that easily? A childish gambit.
Oh, you just keep talking. You'll run out of breath faster.
Your swordsmanship is an embarrassment. It's only a matter of time.
I have you now.
We have each other. You have my throat. I have your genitals. We'll join each other in death.
And then Minestrone lunged forward to kiss Julius Mulius.
What?
I have been infatuated with your two delicious legs ever since I met you. I thought I'd kiss you before we both died.
Wait a second. If that's how you feel, why don't we put our swords away for a second? I had no idea.
It's so forbidden. A unicorn and a human? Impossible in the eyes of Rome.
I can keep a secret.
You haven't said anything about an attraction to me.
In fact, Julius Mulius had no attraction to Minestrone whatsoever.
I'm deeply attracted to you.
Fantastic!
Now let's talk about fighting off the invaders in Wales.
First, we have to consummate this unholy union.
I want to do that.
He did not want to do that.
It would hardly be seemly for the barbarians to arrive right when we started to make love. We need to protect Rome.
Oh, all right. But just for a moment, I want you to get over here, you filthy, dirty, stinking human. I want to feel how small you are.
And thus, solely because Minestrone the Unicorn fetishized human beings in a strangely racist way, the Senate and the God Emperor reached an accord for how to deal with the Welsh invaders. But would it be enough? As we all know from our extensive studies on the matter, Mary Lude arrived in Rome well before the rest of the Welsh army. In an attempt to prevent bloodshed, Lude challenged the Roman god emperor Incitatus to a rap battle. It was Lude's hope that by means of her sick rhymes, she could convince Incitatus to give up before the army arrived.
Nay. Listen up, we've got you surrounded. Your hopes for Rome are poorly founded. Don't you feel bad? Treating fellow horses like prey. We can do better, you and me. Let's work together. We can free all the horses you have under imperial rule. We're all horses here now. No need to be cruel. You say that it's your right to rule. Listen here, Emperor, don't be a fool. We've got the numbers, your army is sick. We can win and we'll win quick. Innocent lives will be lost. You can stop it because you're the boss. Just tell me why they all should die, then tell me how you're a good guy. You say that Rome brings peace. It's true, most wars have ceased. With Rome out here running the show, are you that naive? Do you really not know how badly Rome oppresses? You're sitting pretty here with horrible messes out in your colonies. You're a bunch of fucking thieves, taking our stuff to feed your greed. Your excuses are pathetic. Revenge will be poetic. I wanted to convince you, but now my army will mince you into little bits. We're so strong, our blitz won't take long. Incitatus, I'll see you later, you fucking traitor. After your city becomes a crater. Boom!
And with that rejoinder, Mary Lude left the god emperor. Her attempt at a peaceful transition was doomed from the beginning. And yet, this battle of wits planted the seed of doubt in Incitatus's mind. Was Rome doing evil? We will return to Incitatus's crisis of confidence soon. While it is tempting to focus solely on the politics of Rome's fall, the day-to-day life of its residents remains of interest to the more esteemed of scholars. The relationships that horses manage to cultivate astound. In short, we have reached the point of the play, affectionately dubbed Horse, Sex, and the City. We see Polemia, the Clydesdale, Minestrone, the Unicorn, and Pegulus, the Peg-Leg Pegasus, sitting eating brunch in Rome.
It's just so hard to have romantic relationships when you're a time-traveling horse.
You'll find the right one, Polemia. You're such a catch.
I tried to flirt with Theremin the Taramin, but he said that he's my lawyer and that it wasn't appropriate.
Well, he has a point.
I know. Waiter, could we get some more mimosas? Thanks. But he's one of my peers. There just aren't that many of us on the Council of Time-Traveling Horses.
What about that one fellow? Unicornt, I think his name was?
Well, he's a human, and I know some horses aren't into the whole centaur-making thing, but I'm just not one of them.
Humans are filthy and disgusting. Don't debase yourself by being with one of them.
You know, Minestrone, you can be honest with us.
About what?
We've heard you say all kinds of nasty things about humans, but you know, Rome, it's smaller than you think.
What are you implying?
Honey, you've been seen out and about with that senator, Julius Mulius.
Oh no! My reputation is ruined!
I think it's sweet.
How will people take me seriously as an advisor to our god emperor when they know I associate with the two legs?
It's the 5th century. It's time to do away with those old-fashioned notions.
That's right.
I don't agree. Ours is a forbidden love. Me, a magnificent unicorn with a corncob horn. Him, a disgustingly stinky, two-footed senator type. He's just my dirty little secret.
Not much of a secret when you take him out into public.
Honey, I'm from the future. I'm here to tell you that these notions you have are going to be outdated.
Polemia, you know I love you, but I get tired of your moral superiority sometimes. I know you're from the future, but I'm from the now, honey. Isn't that important too?
You are important. I don't want to make you feel like I think my way is the only way. I'm just saying, it's possible that humans are less filthy than you really make them out to be sometimes.
Well, he's at least distracting.
I wish I had a distraction.
In the distance, we hear faint screaming. But these women obviously do not hear it and carry on.
There's just nobody in Wales who's suitable at all.
Are you still pining after that Lewid woman?
Ugh, yes. I just can't get over her perfect bone structure and her sick rhymes.
Oh, sweetheart, Lewid has made it clear she is not a lesbian. You don't have a shot.
Oh, I know. But that doesn't stop me from feeling what I feel.
You deserve to be with someone who wants to be with you.
There just isn't anyone like that all the way up here in Wales.
Oh, by the way, honey, thanks for coming all the way to Rome just to have brunch with us.
No problem. A bunch of Welsh folks are coming here anyway.
Wait, what are they here for?
Oh, they're overthrowing the Roman Empire.
We hear the sounds of fire crackling and screams closer this time.
Wait a minute. You're here with the Welsh invaders? They're here?
Oh, gosh.
Yeah. Didn't you realize that there's a gigantic army approaching your capital?
Well, thanks for brunch. I need to go advise the God Emperor.
And I need to rally the Roman army.
Polemia and Minestrone both run off, leaving Pegulus alone.
Oh, they're gone. Figures.
And on that morose note, we zoom out of the brunch to see Rome being sacked by a host of Welsh invaders, exploring the personal relationships of these three horsewomen gives us insight into life in Rome during its collapse. With the Welsh barbarians in the city, and with millions of Romans dead by plague, Incitatus was reaching their wit's end. We see Incitatus being advised by the time travelers Polemia and Unicornt. Incitatus is unaware that the latter two are time travelers.
We think so too.
God Emperor Incitatus, we must face reality.
The glory of Rome will live on in the hearts of man.
Oh,
my apologies, my apologies.
Yes, your godliness. There remains a holdout to the east. What we may call now the Babylonian Empire.
We can't get there ourselves, God Emperor. The barbarians have us blockaded. We ourselves are doomed.
For Rome's glory to live on, God Emperor Incitatus, you must send the signet ring to the Emperor in Babylon.
Yes, that is the only way for the legacy of Rome to continue. Send the ring!
Yes, of course. You should address the troops before doing so.
Oh, yes, a brilliant last act from the brilliant God Emperor.
May the speech be as expansive as your vocabulary allows.
And thus, with that jaw-dropping speech, Incitatus sent their royal signet ring to the Babylonian Empire, and the Roman Empire collapsed. Thus, the Council of Equine Time Travel accomplished its aims. Grain storage allowed the centaurs to survive long after the empire fell. The destruction of Rome saved indigenous cultures everywhere. Thank you, ladies, gentlemen, and horses, for attending this year's production of Horseplay. I am certain that each of you were edified, titillated, and exhilarated by this incredible performance. And yet, one question remains. As a human, I do not understand sentient horses as well as I would like. When I look at each and every one of you, I feel profoundly puzzled by a pertinent ponderance. It first occurred to me when a horse walked into a bar. Here's the question. Horses, why the long face?